Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg. I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to talk about the lack of access for pregnant people and those trying to conceive in the U.S. So to have this conversation, I have Natalie Walton. She is the CEO and co-founder of Expectful, a holistic wellness app for hopeful, expecting, and new parents. And Natalie is the mother of her 21-month-old son, Everett. It's a really wonderful conversation. Natalie gives a lot of perspective about her thoughts on healthcare, how to support, how it does or doesn't support pregnant folks, some of the biggest obstacles that pregnant folks face, as well as those that are looking to conceive. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we get to that, I am so excited to share some big news. Prenatal Yoga Center is now going to be partnering with Boober. They are an amazing company. I've known the founder, Jada Shapiro, for almost 2 decades, almost 20 years. And what Boober does is they provide lactation support, birth doulas, mental health therapists, postpartum doulas, classes, and that's where we're going to be working with them. They are going to be providing our childbirth ed classes, our caring for newborn classes, and our breastfeeding and lactation prep classes. I'm so excited to have them as part of the PYC family. You can check them out at the Prenatal Yoga Center website or also at getboober.com. And if you use the code PYC, you'll get 10% off of your first services with them. So good for everyone. Get 10% off. They're now supporting our childbirth education classes. They're going to be online and in person, as well as a lot of our yoga classes. We've had people ask, what direction are we going to be taking things now that the doors are slightly opening more? And we're being extremely COVID mindful. And we have in-person classes for vaccinated folks only, because that is what's happening in New York City right now. And many of those classes are also hybrid, so you can live stream them. And then we have some just live stream classes, and then we have some just in studio classes. So a little mix for whatever you are looking for. Also want to remind you that if you haven't yet headed over to our website, prenatalyogacenter.com, and taken advantage of our free, I call it our cheat sheet, 5 simple solutions to the most common pregnancy pains, grab that. So on the days that wake up and you're a little creaky and you can't make it to class, you can still take care of your mind and body. I also want to thank those that have been leaving ratings and review on Apple Podcasts, wherever listeners is from. It helps people find us. We've had a slew of new reviews, and I thank you. I thank you so much, and I'm glad that this podcast is supporting you. It makes me happy to know that the conversations that are being had help you and benefit you in some way. All right, last thing, and then we're going to get to this conversation. People have been asking, what am I going to do about the winter teacher training? Because I've been waffling a little bit. I've made a decision. It's going to be online. I feel more comfortable with that. So we're already into the September-October teacher training, November-December online, January-February. I made that decision online, and then hopefully in person for March and April in New York City. Hope the world comes out of this pretty soon. Okay, that's all I have to go over. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, please enjoy my conversation with Natalie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Natalie, how are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm really excited and I'm glad that we have a chance to connect. And I love the topic that you want to talk about, the lack of access for pregnant people and those trying to conceive in the U.S. There's a lot there. So I'm really excited to dive in. But before we get into that, I'd love to learn a little bit about you and how did you get involved in Expectful?
Yes. So my entryway to Expectful started in my own pregnancy in 2019. I am a Black woman and I'm someone who has always had an interest in wellness starting many, many years ago. And I started my pregnancy, everything was going great. And midway through pregnancy, I found out that I was at high risk for preterm labor. And this just became very stressful for me. I think it's being a high risk pregnancy is stressful for anyone, but it was particularly stressful because everything was going according to plan and I felt like I had done everything that I could. Like, why is this happening to me? It got to a point where I was going to the doctor's office like 5 times a week. And the stress of having a high-risk pregnancy was, quite frankly, it was a lot to deal with. And I was looking for alternative solutions to help me get through pregnancy. And one of the things that I came across was this app called Expectful. And at the time, Expectful was a meditation and sleep app. I started doing the meditations and I got really into hypnobirthing. And honestly, within about a week of doing, cultivating this practice, I stabilized, which was so remarkable for me because like every week I had been getting worse and worse. I didn't know if I would make it to term, but really integrating this meditation practice and hypnobirthing practice into my pregnancy helped me get to term and really like flourish, quite frankly. And so that's how I became introduced to Expectful was first as a user. And then during my pregnancy, when I was on maternity leave, I had this opportunity to advise Expectful. And then, it later turned into a role where I, became the CEO. And, part of my vision and reason why I came to Expectful was to solve for a lot of the problems that I faced in terms of access, to healthcare, and wellness solutions during my own pregnancy.
So you're definitely the person to talk to about this. So let's jump in and talk about health and pregnant folks. So can you talk a little bit about how you see the current healthcare system, especially as you got deeper into Expectful and you saw this lack of access and how it supports, or I guess can say sometimes doesn't support pregnant folks?
Yes. So, I mean, there's so many layers of this, of like, access to healthcare, and I'll talk about like how I see this. I mean, first, if we look at the U.S., I was reading March of Dimes said that the U.S. is the worst place to be a pregnant person in the developed world in terms of mortality rates, and like I think that's a really scary stat considering all of the resources you would think that we would have in the U.S. But I mean, I think the reality is like there is a problem for just basic healthcare, for a lot of people. And I think that's such a complicated thing. It's related to insurance and employer support. So that's like one problem, but there are other problems too. I think one of the problems that I see and that I'm trying to solve is just awareness around what solutions exist outside of your OB. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big problem. Like, I didn't realize how important acupuncture could be to pregnancy and simple things like massage and the right nutrition. Like these are things that just aren't talked about in your 15-minute appointment in the OB. And then the third thing I would say, and this is a more troubling thing, and I don't think people talk about this enough. And that's the fact that even people that do have access to tools like lactation consultants and pelvic floor therapists, I think that there is a cultural stigma around utilizing these services to get relief in pregnancy and new motherhood. There's kind of, I think, a stigma where people, women feel like they just, you know, they need to suffer, or like people don't talk about what's going on, and like that there actually are tools to alleviate these problems. And so when I view access to healthcare, I think that there are three like different problems that are that's facing the system. And I mean, they're very different problems and different solutions, but, I mean, all around it's kind of a dire situation.
Yeah. I would love to talk more about the stigma, because my lens is a little different because I'm very much in the perinatal world, and we talk about constantly pelvic floor PTs. And I love that my students are like, I saw a pelvic floor PT, and I'm like celebrating that. So I don't see that stigma. I'm not saying it's not there, but it's interesting that you brought it up, because I'm so enmeshed in the perinatal world that honestly, I hadn't realized there was a stigma. I thought it was more people had just never heard of a pelvic floor PT. I was working with a new student who was out in California, and she's like, I went to see a PT and he told me I should just do as many Kegels as I can a day. And I said, was it a pelvic floor PT? She's like, no, it was just a sports PT. And I'm like, can we break this down and talk about it a little bit more? So we had a chat about the difference. And I don't know if it's a stigma, or if it's just not, people don't know about it. They just, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I guess there can sometimes be an embarrassment about talking about incontinence again in my world of pre and postnatal yoga. I'm like, how's your pelvic floor? Are you peeing yourself? So like, I put it out there, but I guess maybe it's more of an embarrassment. Do you think that could be part of it too?
No, I love what you're saying, because it's interesting. Like I talk to a lot of our experts and people that are in the space. Like it's hard to kind of like distill what is the problem going on. I think that you're right. Like education is still, that's probably the biggest problem, but perhaps a stigma is not the right word. I think that when you look at, let's say, look at the pregnancy journey. So much of the pregnancy journey and new mom journey is centered around the baby and not the mom. Yeah. And I think that there is a stigma around, you know, what you need for yourself. Like just let's look at the registry process. Everything in your registry is like centered around your baby. It's like, how many swaddles do you need? How many onesies do you need? But no one really thinks about like, you know, you're going to need PT, you're going to need like pelvic floor therapy. Like you're probably going to need a lactation consultant if you want to breastfeed. Right. It's not necessarily like a stigma that I don't want to use this, but it's a skewed view that like, it's okay to take care of yourself, and that you don't have to suffer. And so I think one of the things that I see in talking just to the thousands of women on our platform and surveys and whatnot is even after having education, knowing that these resources exist, it's more, there's kind of like a shame in thinking like that they actually
deserve
should take care of themselves. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see kind of that guilt in it. And then I will also say, I think, you know, finances can play a huge role. I don't know too many pelvic floor PTs that do cover insurance, and it's very expensive. I mean, I don't know. I can only speak from the area in which I work in, but lactation consultants are not covered by most insurances. Finally, breast pumps are. But that can definitely be something that gets in the way, which let's bring to obstacles. What obstacles are people facing and improving, or what are the biggest obstacles in improving access to maternal health care that you're seeing?
I hate to say this, but you're exactly right. Is that, I mean, that finances is a difficult, that it's definitely a difficult thing to swallow. Like if you see something, let's say like, if you want three pelvic floor therapy sessions and you have to pay
like $1,200, literally three.
It's expensive. I was fortunate. Like I found one, a therapist that took insurance, but you know, it's a pricey. It's not something that's available for everyone. Yeah. Let's just put that out there. So you're right. Like that is a part of the access, and maybe that means like for some people, maybe getting that pelvic floor therapy means that it's something that you don't get to spend on for your baby, which is a difficult pill to swallow too. Mm-hmm. So it's about prioritizing. But I mean, in terms of the solutions here, I think, I mean, a big part of it is healthcare and, like having insurance pay for these, you know, very necessary things like breastfeeding, and access to a lactation consultant, the mental health aspect of pregnancy and postpartum is really critical. So I think insurance improvement, we're seeing it with some employers, like the biggest employers. But I think that that's another way where we can see help is like having employers either sponsor, provide like stipends to access these tools. And then I'd say like one is getting back to the cultural shift is that if I think more women spoke about the challenges that they face and how real the need is for getting mental help, or getting seeing a therapist after pregnancy and postpartum. I think if more people spoke about that and we had a shift where like this is something where we included in our registries and we had our community support us in this, like I think that that would be a beautiful generational shift that could enable people. So it happens on so many levels, and I'm hopeful that in the upcoming years we see this transition to, you know, sponsoring these very necessary tools for mothers.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like some of the obstacles, and I was kind of thinking back to my conversation with my own mother as I started being a parent, some of the obstacles can be different generation, different views on this kind of help. Like I remember telling my mom that I was getting an IBCLC to help me. She's like, well, we did go to Leche League, but what's an IBCLC? Like the baby should just go to the breast. So there's like a misunderstanding. I also think, you know, it was many years between when she breastfed me and when I had my own child. So I think there could be a little mind gap. But do you think part of it could be generational and certain communities support different aspects of maternal health care and put the idea of like, yes, you should go look into your pelvic floor or yes, you should breastfeed. Do you think those are some obstacles that people face?
I do think that is definitely for sure. I mean, I think anyone that was like, you know, born, I think looking at our parents' generation compared to ours, there are definite generational differences. I think that is absolutely correct. I think that depending on where you live, like that is, I live in San Francisco where people are very much into wellness and people are talking about this in mom groups, like, you know, access to the mental health and access to pelvic floor therapy. Whereas I know that a lot of our users who live in other places don't have those conversations. So I think that it is dependent on where you are. I think that, I mean, it also is just like a bigger thing where so much of being a new mom, you don't really know about it, like how challenging it can be until you get there. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like the biggest feedback that I get is there's a lot of people who are like, why didn't anybody tell me this? Mm-hmm. So I mean, there is that generational part, but there is this thing where it's like your peers aren't really talking about it. Maybe it's because people think that like, this is just what it is, but like, you know, it isn't normal like to pee when you laugh. Like that's something that, you know, I think people just assume that not everyone, but some people assume like this is just a normal part of being a new mom. And it's because there's a lack of conversation around what's normal, what can you get help for? So there's many, I think, challenges into improving the situation.
Mm-hmm. Where are you seeing the greatest lack of access to proper prenatal care? Because I think that is something that we know some of the statistics of Black and Brown people of compared to white counterparts. It's just the statistics are crazy. I think the last I saw was a Black or Brown person was four times as likely to die in childhood and twice as likely to have a preterm baby. So when you were saying that they were saying your baby might be preterm, I was wondering if that was some of the statistics where you were falling into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, this is like such a complicated, I spent so much time after being the statistic. And I think oftentimes like people do look at, Black and brown communities and think like that access is part of the reason why, I think Black and brown women have worse outcomes in childcare. And for me, childbirth. And that was something like when I look at myself and I look at people like Alice and Felix and I look at Beyonce and Serena Williams, like these women have access to anything that they could possibly need, mm-hmm. yet they also almost died in childbirth or had really terrible outcomes. And similarly, like I had access, I was on like the best insurance that you could have. I had multiple doctors in San Francisco. I was at a level 4 NICU and like had a doula, had everything that I could want. And yet I still faced this outcome. And so I started looking into this to understand like, why is this happening to highly educated, like financially, like stable, Black women. And I mean, it's really, I think that racial inequities in childbirth are so complex, but a lot of it does come down to systemic racism and not actually access, which I think a lot of people do think that it's access, but there are quite a few studies that it is more that, I mean, a big contributing factor is that around racism, which is such like a hard thing to dissect. And I think where it really boils down to is not really being listened to by mm-hmm. doctors and not being taken as seriously. And I'd say like as just a sample size of one, that was something that I faced, on my entire pregnancy. But there is, I think a lot of, people do feel that it's access, it's income, it's, education that is what's hurting, the outcomes in Black and brown communities. But I really, it's much more complex than that. And it's a systemic racism that's going to take a long time to fix.
I completely agree with everything you just said. And thank you for saying it so, understandably. Like I really follow that. Thank you. Okay. I have more questions because you know me, I'm one that likes to prep. So if someone feels they don't have proper prenatal access, what steps and suggestions do you have for them to try to obtain it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a great question. And, it's a difficult question because I think part of what we discussed is that I think one of the limiting features is like around income and access through, access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I do believe that like on a local level, there are, I know where I live, there are programs that do offer pretty amazing prenatal access to people that can't afford it. And so I'd say, I don't want to recommend the Google rabbit hole. There are some really great tools out there, particularly like I can speak to those for women of color. There's like a great New York Times article that was published, I believe last year, for Black women that are birthing with resources. There is a company called Earth.
Yes.
That is from Kimberly, Steels Allers. And that's a company that I love because it's birthing without bias and it shares information about, doctors, and people in the medical community that have had that are more favorable for women of color. And I think that that's like part of the problem there is that if you feel like you don't have the right access, it might be that you're not taken seriously. And so maybe then it's time to look at a different doctor. And so I'd say like those are that New York Times article is an excellent article. Earth is an excellent article, is an excellent resource. And then I think from there, it's just talking to people in your community that are like you that can help you recommend resources because they do exist. It's just sometimes it's difficult to find.
And I actually have a pretty good list, that I will make sure of resources that I think that can help brown and Black communities. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. So thank you for bringing up Earth. I had Kimberly on the podcast when she was talking about her book, I think it's called The Great Letdown. She is fantastic. She is sharp. She is fierce. She is knowledgeable. I adore her. So I'll make sure Earth is also. Oh, and if anyone's listening, they haven't heard it. It's IRTH. Yes. Like birth, but with yeah. the, I'm like, I had to like see it in my mind and then spell it out. All right. We're going to take
it. Yeah, she's a fantastic human. So I think that's great. Yes. Earth. It's, I think birth
without the birth B. Without I had to little like visualize it and then spell it out. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and when we come back. We're going to talk about, what does evidence show for those who are not able to obtain proper healthcare? We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Okay, so we're getting deep. Thank you for going there. Does the evidence show for those who are not able to obtain proper care during pregnancy compared to those who are provided high quality patient-centered care?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think there's a lot of studies that we could talk about, but the results are bad. I mean, I think just to put it lightly, like I read a lot of research in my role. And, let's take, for example, lactation.
Yes.
There's a study that shows that 92% of new mothers struggle with breastfeeding. And that means like that's a huge percentage of people. And I think like speaking from personal experience, it's really hard. And I think if you look at breastfeeding, a lot of people don't have access to that comprehensive care where mm-hmm. that might entail a lactation consultant. I think you brought it up with like your own mom and how this is something that you were doing. And it's like without that care, that comprehensive care, people are like, they're more likely to stop breastfeeding, earlier. And I think that that's something that we see just referencing Kimberly, like that's something that she talks about in her book and like Black Breastfeeding Week as to why, Black women, the rates at which Black women breastfeed as compared to white women are much lower. And it's because of that lack of care. So it's not just in lactation, but it's all around care. Mm-hmm. It's just, if you don't have that access to 360 care, it really impacts the baby. It impacts the mother. It impacts the entire family.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay. We're going to shift gears and talk about conception. So as I was preparing for this, I was reading as much as I could about the options and those that don't have access to try to conceive. And just from a personal level, one of my closest friends was she went through IVF in Massachusetts. And then I had another really good friend who was going through around the same time in New York. And what I learned is that my friend in Massachusetts, it was covered pretty much like 95% by insurance. I don't know if that was just her insurance, but I think it was Massachusetts. And then my friend in New York, none of it was covered. I was shocked about how expensive it was. So I couldn't believe that burden of it. Talk about access to the possibility of conceiving, that financial burden. But I also read that up to 10% of people received some sort of medical care to become pregnant, which I thought was much higher. Do you have any statistics on any of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I believe that. I mean, the statistic that comes to mind is like 1 in 6 couples struggle to conceive. Mm-hmm. 1 in 6 is quite a lot.
Yeah.
I know that, I mean, so conceiving is very, it's difficult. And, for us on our app, like a lot of our users skew on, I mean, not even older, like I would be calling myself old, but like, and it should just say like not the youngest phase of life where, that becomes a little bit, where conceiving becomes a little bit more challenging and you might need a little bit of help. And so, I mean, in terms, I don't have the exact number. I haven't come across the number exactly of how many people do receive assistance, but I do know with miscarriage rates as high as they are. Mm. I mean, I've seen different rates. I don't know what rates you've seen, but anywhere from like 1 in 5 pregnancies can end in a miscarriage, and you see 1 in 6 couples struggling to conceive. I mean, it's pretty clear that this isn't something that comes easy for everyone.
Right. Yes. I think I saw, it might have been 1 in 4 pregnancy. Maybe it was 1 in 5, but you're right. It absolutely is not, which is funny because, kind of taking a side note, I remember before wanting to have kids, always being afraid of getting pregnant and always being convinced I was pregnant. And then when going for it, it was definitely, much more complicated, not as easy as I thought it would be.
And It's kind of like you just don't know until you're ready. And sometimes that might be not the ideal time for your body, even though that might be like the ideal time in your life. And so it's a really complicated thing, but that's something also I think is around talking about shame and stigma.
Yeah.
A lot of, the support groups that we have on our platform talk about, are there for women to talk about that journey, because I think that shame and stigma around trying to conceive, because it's not talked about enough, mm-hmm. can sometimes make the process more difficult for people, which is a terrible thing, because there's no shame in it. So I hope that as a society, we're opening up to around the challenges and that a lot of people do need assistance, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I can totally understand about the shame and the stigma and the what's, especially if you had, I remember I had 2 miscarriages. And I remember just, and I teach pregnant people, and I had to be in class teaching people that were pregnant after just having a miscarriage and just being like, what was wrong with my body? Why did my body do this? And even though I knew logically these things happen, it still was very hard to be there and almost and angry at my body. And I can see that happening with a lot of people when they're trying to conceive and it doesn't work. Kind of angry, like, why is this so hard for me? So what are some of the factors that make getting assistance in conception inaccessible?
I mean, honestly, I think that this gets back to insurance. Like and this is what I don't like. And, you know, tell me if you think that like I'm on the right track here, but I think that a lot of the factors that make getting assistance in around conception inaccessible is due to financial access. I think that's what it boils down to. As someone who has, like, I've worked in the tech sector for the last decade, I think maybe around 2012 or 2014, I started seeing all of the benefits pop up in like these big corporations where they're offering the ability to freeze your eggs or offering assistance with IVF. And I'm starting to see more of a trend on that from the employer side. But it's something where I still don't see a lot of support on the insurance side. And so that means that if you don't have a generous employer, it does kind of seem like you're out of luck. I mean, there are some, I think, local programs that might help, but it really seems like the only people, from what I've seen, that are really trying to solve this access problem today are employers, and that's troubling because not everyone has access to those employers that will pay for rounds and rounds of IVF.
Yeah. Oh, it breaks my heart. Yes. Yes. And then I was thinking I did a podcast with the LGBTQ community, and they also can have a lack of access because insurance doesn't quite know how to support that all the time as well. So I remember having Beth tell me about that and be like, oh, you're totally right. And, I realize that I'm privileged in the fact that I didn't have to have that and it wasn't in my realm. So, I just wanted to put that as a factor as well for those that I want to recognize that can be, an obstacle for inaccessibility.
Of course. Yeah. And I mean, that is absolutely an obstacle that I've seen. And I think on that too, it's just like, I mean, there are different options of how to conceive and really fully knowing all of your options too. Yes. So there's like an education piece there, but I mean, that it's, I think anyone that wants to have a child should have that access. And I hope that this is something that our system changes as soon as possible.
So this next question I think is going to be right up your alley. So what are some ways someone can enhance their chance of conception? And I'm guessing Expectful has some ways they can help.
Yes. No, this question is right up my alley. You're correct. So earlier this year, I interviewed a professor in New Zealand. His name is Greg Anderson. And we recorded a podcast around some of his research that just came out around the impact of stress and fertility. And he is one of the first researchers that really is able to point to stress having an impact on fertility. And it's not just mental stress, although that is absolutely one. I mean, stress can come in so many ways. Like it could be weight as a stress. It could be like hormonal stress. There's so many different types of stress, but I think what was clear about his research is that stress does have an impact on fertility. Mm-hmm. And in my conversation with Professor Anderson, it was interesting because he went so far as to say that, like, you know, if you're in a job that is stressful, like, and conceiving is important to you, like, you know, starting to think like maybe you should think about, you know, reducing that stress, however it might be, like perhaps it's leaving that job or finding something that is more flexible for you. And of course, I think one of the things I'm excited about and how it helped me in my pregnancy, and there's a ton of research around this, is that meditation also does improve chances of conceiving. And meditation also, there are a lot of studies that show that people that meditate have less anxiety and stress in pregnancy and postpartum. And so overall, it's like finding ways to reduce stress, whatever it might be for you, is really critical. And that's one of the things I'm excited about that we bring to people, through Expectful is an easy way to get that meditation, that's specifically designed for like, if you're trying to conceive or, like daily, we have daily pregnancy meditations. So let's say you're on week 17 and day 3, like we have a meditation that's designed for exactly what you might be going through on that day. But it is important to cultivate those practices to reduce stress.
Yes, I think anything that reduces stress is good for trying to conceive, for during pregnancy, for postpartum, for life.
I mean, it doesn't get easier. No. It just changes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what is one tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer to new and expectant parents? We'll be right back. We are back. All right. So you've worked with a lot of parents. You are a parent. So is there something popping into your mind that you want to share that you wish someone had told you?
Yes. Someone did tell me this when I was pregnant, and I wish I had like heeded her advice earlier, because I spent many weeks and months trying to understand that. And that's, you know, when you're in your pregnancy, and early parenthood, is figuring out a system for you to help deal with the unknown. I think that so many of us, we like to control our lives. And if you have that mentality going into pregnancy and new parenthood, I think it's really setting someone up for disappointment. It was something that set me up for disappointment very early on when I found out I was at high risk and I had zero control over anything. And so for me, one of the ways that I learned to navigate the unknown was through meditation, but it could be through journaling. It could be through a support group. But I think cultivating that really early on is critical because, every day I'm thrown, something new, and my ability to cope with that change, has really just been key to me being a parent and really as a survival skill.
Yes, I completely agree. All right, where can people find your work? And I know that you have a special offer from Expectful for Yoga Birth Baby listeners.
Yes, we do. I would love all of Yoga Birth Baby listeners to check out Expectful. We have a special offer where people can try Expectful for a month for just $1. And where people can find us, we're at Expectful.com. On Instagram, we're at Expectful. We're also on the Android and Google App Store. And so I recommend checking us out and seeing how we can help support you through your fertility, pregnancy, or parenthood journey.
Amazing. So if for the Yoga Birth Baby listeners, how can they take advantage? That is very generous. Just $1. That is less than a cup of coffee. When do you hear anything like that? How can they take advantage of that?
Yes. So I will send a link in the show notes. We have a special page, a Yoga Birth Babies page. And so I will make sure that we get that to you and that it's linked in the show notes for people to check out.
Okay. Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for being so generous with your conversation and your knowledge on this topic. It's a deep topic, and I know we just kind of scratched the surface, but you gave a lot to chew on and think of, and I really enjoyed this. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.